Folks, tonight I'm going to air the message that I preached right here at our local facility in Jacksonville, Florida, Sunday on the 19th of April. And I hope you listen to it. It's called The Dark Side of the Moon versus Total Eclipse of the Heart. I'm using an analogy here of how the dark side of the moon can be related to a person who has a dark heart. In other words, hasn't received Christ into their life, and their heart has been darkened like a total eclipse. So, get your Bible, sit back, and join me tonight on this Wednesday evening, the 22nd of April already. And like I said before, it is a message I aired Sunday morning. So grab your Bible, listen close, because I think you will gain some insight from this lesson tonight, because it's strictly God's word. Not much of my own words speaking here. It's strictly God's word, and it will speak to your heart if you will have an open heart about it. So God bless you real good as we go into this study here tonight.
You know, God is good. All the time. All the time, He's good. Do you know that song that Gary sung there? And Gary, mighty fine job. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's glory to God. But this particular song, Blessed Assurance, that was written by a lady. She was blind. Her name was Fanny Crosby. And she wrote this song in 1873. But her being blind, she was visiting a friend named Phoebe Knapp. And Phoebe had just composed this beautiful melody. She didn't have no words. And Fanny sat there and wrote these words. And these words says, blessed assurance. It tells the gospel story. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of heaven divine. Heirs of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, and washed in His blood. Amen. That'll preach right there. And then it goes on and says, this is my story. And we can say, this is our story, church.
Yes, sir.
Praising the Savior all the day long. And our, this is not the message, but our attitude should be praise unto the Lord all day long, wherever we're at. It doesn't mean we're sitting there going, hallelujah, hallelujah, you know, but in your heart, thanking Jesus, you know, for praising, just giving you praise. But this is my story, praising the Savior all the day long. The perfect submission. Perfect delight. Visions of rapture now in my sight. Even though she is blind, you have sight. Angels descended from above. Echoes of mercy. Whispers of love. And he goes on, this is my story. But then the next verse is perfect submission. We're submitting to God. All is at rest. I in my Savior. Am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This song is about the joy and peace that comes from a deep relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Ain't that good? Now I've entitled this message, The Dark Side of the Moon versus Total Eclipse of the Heart. How many remember that song? Well, it's not about that song. Total Eclipse of the Heart. Father, I thank You for this honor. I thank You for this privilege. And Father, while Pastor Bob and Sister Sharon is off on vacation, we ask for a hedge of protection around about them, Father God, and just give them a joy bubble while they're off and away. Lord, heal any parts of the body that need to be healing. Father, we speak strength to them both, encouragement, Father God, and rest and relaxation.
Yes.
Father, bless them in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And Father, we thank you for this honor and this privilege of being gathered here today in this congregation. And Lord, we ask now your Holy Spirit be upon us, upon those who hear this, and upon me. Father, it's your word. I'm just repeating your words.
Amen.
So Lord, let your word do the work, I pray, Holy Spirit, in your holy name. Amen. Dark side of the moon or total eclipse of the heart. And you say, well, you know, that's a song. Well, a totally eclipse of the heart is really a darkened heart that does not know Christ.
Hello.
How you like it so far?
I like it.
Today we hear about Artemis 2, Artemis 3, going to the dark side of the moon, the far side of the moon. Wonder what's out there. What could be out there, you know? And here we are today. Look at the moon at nighttime, and sometime when it's such a full, big, beautiful, silvery moon. The Italians call it a bella luna, meaning beautiful moon. And sometimes it's mesmerizing to us. We are looking up at the sky, at this beautiful light that God has created. Well, there's a greater light that God created to rule by day. It's the sun. And it's the sun that provides the light for the moon.
Amen.
And we're sitting down there looking. And that's, you know, that's getting the best out of a buck, isn't it? Got a light here and we shine over here and then gives us the light down here. So God knew what he was doing when he created the heavens and the universes. And the sun to rule by day. The lesser lights, the moon and the stars to rule by night. And he spoke all of this into being.
Amen. Amen.
And he gave the stars and the moon, you know, for light upon the earth at night. But it's his light. It's light that he's created. So this great light, the sun is shining, the white light from the sun is shining upon this moon, lightening it up. And that's what we see when we're looking at it from the earth. But when there's a total eclipse, it's that moon is moving in front of the sun and blocking out all the light upon the earth. And that gives us the eclipse, and it becomes dark in broad daylight. But even when God created the heavens and the earth and all of that, there was nothing but a void of darkness. But when he came on the scene, there was light before he ever created the light, because God is light.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to be doing a lot of reading today. It's going to be scripture, okay?
Yeah.
I ain't going to talk so much. But this this total eclipse of the heart I was talking about, that's where sin engulfs the heart. A total eclipse means dark. It's darkened. It's darkened by sin. And for the individual who's been born into this world, they are darkened by sin until they come into the light.
Amen.
And that light is the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John 1:5, it says, this is the message, and I'm reading in the New Living Translation. I've got it all printed out here, but that's where it's coming from. This is the message that we have heard from Jesus and declare unto you. God is light. There's no darkness at all with God. So we are lying to ourselves if we say that we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness.
Hello.
The eclipse of the heart. And if we're living in spiritual darkness, we are not practicing the truth of God. But verse 7, but if we are living in the light, as God is in the light and is the light, then we have fellowship with each other, don't we?
Yes.
We have that light of God burning in our innermost being. The Holy Spirit of God is living and dwelling in us. And we can have relationship with each other. We recognize each other. There's commonality among us because the light coming together What a great glorious bonfire that is. The lights of all of God's people coming together. There's fire there and there's light. Verse 7, but if we are living in light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. Okay, so there's truth there, right there, 1 John. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
Nothing else.
No,
the blood. If we claim that we have no sin, anybody in here doesn't have sin? Good. I'm glad you're honest with yourself. I didn't see no hands come up. If we claim we have no sin, we are fooling ourselves and not living in truth. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful. He is God. And just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, then we're calling God a liar and showing that His Word has no place in our hearts. So, we all sin.
Right.
With a thought, with actions. You may come in here cleansed, and you may have cleansed your temple, and you can have a thought right then, there's the sin. So God is saying, we all sin. We know that. We understand. If we say we don't have any sin, even though God has cleansed us, then we make God a liar and ourselves. Are liars. But God has given us an advocate, Jesus Christ. We can go to Him. Jesus, I just sinned. Help me not to do that again. Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 tells us this. Then God said, let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs to mark seasons, days, and years. Verse 15 says, let these lights shine down on the earth. And this is what's happened. God spoke it, and that happened. God, verse 16, God made the two great lights, the larger to govern the day, the lesser to govern by night. God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw it was good. In Psalms chapter 19, I'll be reading through verses 1 through 12 of Psalms chapter 19. The heavens, verse 1, proclaim the glory of God, and the skies display His craftsmanship. You ever been outside on a clear, crisp night, and you look up at the heavens, and you can see all the stars stretched out from one end to the other with the moon, and it's a beautiful thing. God spoke those into being, and they testify of His majesty without ever having to say a word. It takes a foolish man to look up into the skies and the heaven and say there is no God.
That's right.
Because all of creation testifies of Him. Verse 2, day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make Him known. That's the sky, the stars, the heavens, the moons above and all. They speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all of the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. And we know when the sun comes out, the moon sort of fades out of the sight and the stars. But at night, there they are again. But they've always been there. It's just what God has created for us here on this earth. Yet their message has gone throughout all the earth. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like radiant bridegroom after his wedding. And it rejoices like a great athlete, eager to run the race. The sun, when it bursts forth out there on the East Atlantic, you ever been out there and watched it? Watching it break the horizon, and it bursts forth, those rays of sun bursting forth like a glorious thing that God has created. He said it burst forth like radiant bridegroom after his wedding. And it rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Verse 8, the commandments of the Lord are right. They bring joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. The more you read the Word, the better you are health-wise. Because God tells us just by reading the Word is health to the body. Verse 6, the sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Verse 9, reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. Any of you ever experienced the honey from the comb? Probably Gary can relate to this, and some of you in Kentucky, we used to go in. We had some guys could reach in bees, honey, in the comb and just drag it out, and the bees would never do nothing to him. But that's good honey.
Yes.
It's sweet when you bite into the comb, and it's just good. Well, the Lord's commandments, the Lord's word is just like that to the soul who knows him and is desiring all they can get from the Lord. They are a warning to your servant, God's word is, and his commandments. They are a great reward to those who obey him. The key word there is obey. But we're talking about these lights, the sun, the moon, the stars. But you know, God has created something else to reflect his light. God has created something else to reflect his light. Guess what it is? It's you and me.
Uh-huh.
You and me. He created us, you, me, just a little bit lower than himself. Just a little bit lower than himself. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created human beings, or man, depending on what version you're in, human beings in his own image, in the image of God, he created them, male and female. Get that, male and female from the beginning. There wasn't any tampering this and tampering with that and say, well, you look like a male, but you're actually a female.
Because,
no, God created male and female.
Right.
It's black and white.
Yeah.
Okay, no room for interpretation here. Psalms 8, verse 1, he says, O Lord, and Lord is all capital, L-O-R-D, okay? He said, our Lord, God Almighty, you know, your majestic name fills the earth. In other words, everything we see up there, it's majestic. Even the stuff that we can't see, you know, all of these galaxies and all of these planets and everything. God spoke all that into being. It just didn't happen. Verse 2, you have taught children and infants to tell you of your strength or to give you praise, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. This is David writing and talking about God. And he said, you've taught your children and infants to tell of your strength. In other words, to praise you, give you praise. Verse 3, when I look at the night sky and see the works of your fingers, the moon, the stars that you set into play. What are we like mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them. In other words, he said, we're mere mortals, God. Who are we that you should think about us. But you know he does? Every one of us. He knew you before he ever spoke your members into being. He knew you. Verse 5, he goes on to say, you have made them, that's man, human beings, only a little lower than God, and crowned him with glory and honor. Now, in the New Living Translation, it says, a little lower than God. Then there's a note that says, or the angels. The KJV, King James Version, says, a little bit lower than the angels. Okay? NESB, New American Standard Bible, is God, but then there's a note saying, or the angels. Then the New English Translation, it says, a little lower than the heavenly beings, which would be the angels. And if you take the Hebrew equivalent word for that, it equates to Elohim. Elohim, the Hebrew term for Elohim, can refer to the one true God, or it can refer to false gods or heavenly beings. But in the context here, it would refer to either God or to the angels. The ancient Greek translation of the Old Testament, the LXX, it reads angels. The term may refer to heavenly beings or angels. Same thing. So God has created you, he's created me, a little bit lower than the angels. Okay? That's good. I mean, he created these heavenly messengers, the angels, who govern all around us. There's angels amongst us, though we may not see them, but they're there. There are these heavenly beings. Many say that you have a guardian angel throughout you and all your life. And you may have experienced some phenomenal thing that happened in your life that normally you would have been killed. But you were protected. Why? God has guardian angels encamped around about his children, amen, watching over them. Though you can't see them, though at times they may appear to you in human form. And there's instances we could point to in the Bible, but I'm not going to do that. I don't have time. So, I'll give you one instance. Once I was working on a roof up in Tennessee, on sister-in-law's house, and I slipped off the roof. And I was falling through these branches in the tree. But before I got to the ground, it was like, it was as soft, just let me down. I contributed that to God protecting me. An angel had a hold of me. Yep. Yep. And there's other things. You know, you probably have your own instances where possibly there was an angel there and entertaining you, taking care of you. Never discount those things as happenstance. Amen. Give credit to God. Verse 6 says, you gave man charge of everything that you made, putting all things under their authority, the flocks, the herds, all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims in the currents. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, he said, let your light shine before others. This is Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, on the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 14, he said, you, talking about us, are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts a basket under it. Instead, a lamp is placed upon a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. I know y'all remember, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You know, put it under a bushel. Oh, no. That's where this come from. But we are to be that light, standing on the hill for all to see. And what are they to see? Jesus Christ shining through you. A life that reflects the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16 of Matthew chapter 5. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. There's your light. The good deeds shining out. Helping others in time of need. Being good and kind. Letting the love of Christ shine out. Because what will that do? They will come to the light. They will come to the light. Those that have the heart, which has been eclipsed, a total eclipse of the heart. In other words, those who don't know Christ are darkened in their spirit will come to the light. If they see a light worth coming to.
Amen.
You know, I can look at you. I can look at Dave. I look at Tina. I look at any of you out here and say, God has made you beautiful and wonderfully. I can see your faces. And I see the love of God in them. I see beauty. But I can do that. But you know what? I can't see your heart. You may look like the most glorious thing I ever saw from your face. But I can't see your heart. God can.
Yeah.
You know, like Preacher Bob said before, if you walked into here and everything that you thought of during the week was cast up here on the wall so everybody could read, you probably wouldn't come to church.
No.
But God sees, okay? It's God that sees.
Amen.
Not mankind. So, you know, mankind can fool all kinds of people, but you don't fool God. It's just like looking at that big bright moon with our naked eyes. We don't see, we can't see all of those craters, those gullies, those ditches, all the scars that the moon has suffered throughout ages from comets hitting it and tearing it up. All the scars that is left upon the face of the moon. We don't see that. We may see some of it if we get it under a telescope or a flyby of a satellite, but we can't see that. Neither can we see the hearts of individuals. But God does. God sees that. So, you know, you could shoot us a line that we would believe. But God knows your heart. He sees the heart. According to the Bible, God created man to have a relationship with Him. A relationship with Him. And you know, I could ask you, what kind of relationship do you have with Jesus Christ? If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have a relationship with His Father,
Amen.
Who is God, who is also the Holy Spirit. But if you don't have that relationship, then you have no relationship with God, and He created you for that. For that, to have a relationship with Him. And He gives us all these wonderful blessings. He sends us a wife or a husband to have relationships with, and we love them. And in turn, we should love the Father because He gave us that beautiful wife or that husband who takes care of us. But God wants a relationship with you. That's why He created us. He created us, man, to have a relationship to Him, with Him, and to reflect His image. Remember Moses when he went up with God and he come back down? He had the Shekinah glory, or Shekinah glory all over him. And everybody saw that. He was up there having a relationship with the Creator of all of the universe, God Himself. And it reflected on Him when He came back down. You know, so we should reflect His image, and that image is the light and the love of the Lord God Almighty. Not the dark, fiery darts that come out of hell thrown at our brothers and our sisters. That's not from God. That's not the light that God has put in us. That is something that the enemy has stirred up within, and we give in to the flesh. But God created man to have this relationship to him and reflect his image to care for his creation. Did you get that? God created us to have a relationship with him and for us to share his image, or what we're created like God to share that image. But he also created this universe and this earth that we live in to take care of it.
Amen.
To care for it. So what do? We mix up concrete and pour it all over the lovely greenery. But God created us to have a relationship with him. We are to reflect his image and to care for his creation. His creation is more than the earth. You're his creation. I'm his creation. We are to care for one another. Those who are downbeaten and, you know, what are you going to do? Well, I hope you get better, brother. Maybe God will send somebody to help you. No, if you have the capabilities within yourself, we are to help that person. Remember the Samaritan guy laying in the ditch? Brother come along, all of his kin and the priests and all that. Oh, that's one of them Samaritans. I ain't even going to walk on that side of the street. I'm going to look over this way. And I cocky don't see him. Well, the guy come by and he had compassion. Lifted him up, cleaned up his wounds, put oil on him, gave him money, took him to a place and said, take care of this man. I'll be coming back through town a couple of weeks. And if what I gave you is not enough to take care of him, then I'll pay you whatever it was. That's the kind of love we should have for mankind. Well, he don't belong to our church. Well, I don't like his color. Well, I don't like the way they speak. That's not who we should be. We should have compassion upon God's creation, his whole creation. Genesis 1:26 through 1-28 says this: humans were made in God's image and given stewardship over the earth. While passages like Isaiah 43:7 indicate that mankind was created to bring glory to God. That was Genesis 1:26 through 28, and also Isaiah 43 verse 7. Jeremiah 17:9 through 10 says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all. It's desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? You don't even know how bad your heart is. I don't know how bad my heart is. But we know we're capable of doing bad things.
Amen.
That we'd wish we hadn't done. But the human heart is, it's deceitful, folks. It's a deceitful thing. Most deceitful of all things. And it's wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But verse 10, but I, the Lord, searcheth all hearts and examines secret motives. I give all people their due rewards, God says, according to what their actions deserve. So don't think for a minute that you're going to get by with those little secrets that you have, because everything's in the light to God. And you will pay justly according to what they are. But there's always a chance you have to repent and confess a sin and say, Lord, I got this in my heart against a brother or sister. I got this in my heart and I don't want it. And I failed you so many times, but please forgive me. Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood that cleanses, remember, of Jesus Christ. Psalms 19 now. Psalms 19 verses 12 through 14. He says, how can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? This is David. He said, how can I know all these sins that are lurking in my heart? Quinn, how can you know all of these sins that are lurking in your heart? Gene, how can you know all of these sins that are lurking in my heart? And then he says, cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. How many of you ever sinned deliberately? We don't like to hold our hands up, do we? No. I know what that feeling says, but I don't care. I'm going to go, you know. Or it could be worse, other things. So it's deliberate sin. He's saying, don't let them control you. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin, David is saying. He said, keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of the guilt and the innocent. Verse 14 of Psalms 19, he said, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing unto you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. He's saying, Lord, let everything that comes out of my mouth be pleasing unto you. Not these sins, not all of this stuff. Psalms 40, verses 5 through 8. O Lord my God, and we're about to wrap up here. O Lord my God, you have performed many wonders of us. How many times has God did something good for you? Unsurmountable, isn't it? Many times He's healed us, He's provided for us, gave us things. I know when I was in the Navy, I prayed for every rank. He gave me every rank, advanced me ahead of my peers. All kinds of stuff.
Amen.
God did that.
Yes, sir.
As an answer to prayer. And I wasn't living a life that I would be proud of either. But I believed God. And I prayed to God. And I would ask His forgiveness where I had failed Him. Look at this. Verse 5 of chapter 40 of Psalms. He said, oh my Lord, my God, you have performed so many wonders for us. Your plans for us are too numerous to list. You have no equal. If I tried to recite all of your wonderful deeds, he's saying, I would never come to an end of them. He said, you take no delight in sacrifices and offerings. Why does not God, what? You say, that don't sound right. Why is it that God doesn't take delight in sacrifices and offerings? Well, in the old system, that meant there's some animals going to have to die because of you. But in the new, it meant Christ died. He did. And we thank God for that. But he said, I don't take pleasure in sacrifices and offerings. You know what he does take pleasure in? Obedience. That's what he loves, is obedience from his children. Not having to offer the sacrifices and burnt offerings. Because that means you've sinned. He said, now that you have made me listen. David has said, you got my attention, Lord. He said, now that you have made me listen, I finally understand that you don't require burnt offerings or sin offerings. He said, now that this old stubborn man of David, you got my attention, and I now understand you don't require these. What you want is my obedience. What you want is my obedience. Then verse 7 of chapter 40 of Psalms, then I said, I have come as it is written in the scriptures about me. I will take joy in doing your will, he's telling God. My God, for your instructions are written on my heart. Aren't God's instructions written on our hearts? To do those things that we know to be good and not those things that are evil. Verse 9, I have told all your people about your justice. I have not been afraid to speak out as you, O Lord, well know. He goes on, verse 10 says, I have not kept the good news of your justice hidden in my heart. He said, I have talked about your faithfulness and saving power. I have told everyone in the great assembly of your unfailing love and faithfulness. Lord, don't hold back your tender mercies from me. Let your unfailing love and faithfulness always protect me. And we could say this to ourselves, for trouble surrounds me. Too many to count. My sins pile up so high that I can't even see my way out. You ever been there? I have. Seems like, you know, I've sinned for so long. Not today, but there's been times in my life that it's like there's no way out. No way God could ever forgive me, but He does. That's what David is saying. He said, my sins are piled up so high, I can't even see my way out. You know, not only did he go to bed and commit adultery with a soldier's wife, but then he had him killed. I mean, so his sins are piling up, you know. But God forgave him. Why? Because he came to him and said, Lord, I've sinned. I've done this evil and right. But there's recompense to be paid. Cost him a son by the woman he committed adultery with and then married. So sin hurts. And who's it hurt? You and those around you. And we're going to find, this is not in the lesson, but as we're going through the studies of 1 Samuel, and we're right now, David has not took kingship. though he's been anointed to king, but he's on the run from Saul because he lied one time to a priest. It cost the lives of all of the priests because of his sin. So your lies can hurt and can cost. Verse 13. Please, Lord, rescue me. Come quickly, Lord, and help me. David realized the kind of places he was in, what was going on, and his condition. He said, Lord, please come and help. Help me, Lord. And sometimes the only prayer you need is, help me, Lord. He knows your heart. And he knows the condition of your heart when you come to him. He knows if there's any deception there or whether you've been truthful with yourself and him. He knows. Verse 9. This is Psalms 111 now, verse 9 and 10. Psalms 111, verse 9. He has paid a ransom for his people. That's God. You know who the ransom was? Jesus Christ. He said he has guaranteed his covenant with them forever. What a holy, awe-inspired name he has, talking about God. He said he's paved the way for us. He has a covenant forever with the people. Verse 10, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. Do you fear God? It's a foolish man who says, I don't fear God. Foolish man. Because fear of God is a foundation of true wisdom. That's a wise man who fears God. All who obey his commandments will grow in wisdom and praise him forever. Did you catch that? You want to grow closer to God? Obey his commandments. Read his word. You will grow in wisdom. That's why most every Wednesday night when I pray for those who are listening in that they will continually grow in knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of God's word. That's a great gift. You got that? You really don't need nothing else. Because he will give you the wisdom of how to pray for what you need, not what you want. Psalms 139. Now listen to these sections here. Okay? 139 verses 1. Now I'm going to go down to 18. Lord, O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. Don't let that pass from you, okay? The Lord knows everything about you. So you're not going to get anything over on the Lord. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even from far away. Did you know God knows that about you? Those thoughts that you have, what you're thinking? He knows those from a far away. He knows when you sit down. He knows when you're standing up. 3. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything that I do. You talking about security cameras? God's got a security camera on you. More so than anything man could ever create. He knows. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. How many have ever had a prayer answered before you ever got it out of your mouth? It happens. You start praying for a thing and before you're through praying, you get a report that's already happened. God knows what you're going to say even before you say it. Verse 5. You go before me and follow me. He's telling God, David's telling God, praying to him. He said, you go before me and you follow me and you place your hand on my head. It's a blessing. And might I say, if God did it for David, he will do it for you. Amen. Okay? You're his child too. Such knowledge is too wonderful me. He said, it's too great for me to understand, Lord. I can never escape from your spirit. As a capital S, that's the Spirit of God, His Holy Spirit. I can never get away from your presence. That's a good thing. If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to the grave, you're there. If I ride on the wings in the morning, or if I dwell at the farthest oceans, you're there. Even there, at the farthest ocean, your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. God will guide you. He will lead you. He will support you. If you're in obedience, I could ask the darkness to hide me, he says, and the light around me to become darkness. But even in the darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as the day, and the darkness and light, they're the same to you. to God, there is no light, there is no dark. He sees through it all.
Amen.
He sees the darkness, the eclipse of the heart. May not be a total eclipse, may be a partial, a quarter eclipse. There's a quarter part of your heart that's hanging on to sin. And there's an eclipse, a darkness there. Get my drift? Verse 13. Look at this. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. As I was woven together in the darkness of the womb. Look at this. You can say this about me. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts of me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand, and when I wake up, you're still with me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Pointing out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. These scriptures I just read should give you a great joy bubble in your heart.
Amen.
Knowing that God knew you before the foundations of the earth was ever created. And He watched over and seen you every little part of you being formed in the womb. Every little blood vessel. Every little thing. Your traits. So give Xenia this gift, this trait to develop to be a singer. Because I'm going to use her one day in the church as a praise team leader.
Amen.
And it all happened before you were ever spoken into being. Or he may have said, that little country boy there from Kentucky. I know your parents don't have nothing. But you, while you're being formed in your mother's womb, I'm going to give you these gifts. I'm going to give you a gift for teaching. I'm going to give you some musical abilities that will be used in my kingdom to draw people to myself.
Amen.
I'm going to use these for you to teach others when I'm ready for that to happen. And I can look through my life and see all of these steps that God had a purpose and a plan. Even though I'm living in sin. Yet He brought it. Knowing one day that I'll use you in a way. One time, I'll share this with you. There was one time early in my career, I was stationed at Patuxent River, Maryland. Just a third class. And I always had a heart for God and a word for God, so this old chief asked me, said, "Hey, Howard, how would you like to come go to church with us one night?" I said, "Okay." So I went to church, and it was an old backwoods country church, way out in the country. They had them old wooden plank seats, old wooden rails down there to pray on. And the Holy Spirit was there so strong. And I went forward, and all these people praying over me and stuff and touched me, and I didn't know what to think, young boy. But all of a sudden, God did something to me that I don't understand today. But I was down there kneeling, and they were praying over me. It was like God had taken a big vat of gold, poured it over my head, and it infiltrated all through my ever being. And I could feel it going throughout all my body. And I was getting a taste of metal in my mouth. And it was like pure, pure shining gold. Never forgot that. And I think that's when God anointed me, like He did David for the ministry. But David didn't go into the ministry till a long time. But there come a time. You know, and there's other instances. One time I was, and I haven't shared this with very many people, in Memphis, Tennessee, Millington, really, I was going through a school there, And Shirley's brother got killed in a car wreck. And I was very close to the man. So I went to this church. It was Assemblies of God, if I remember. And I was down there praying to God. And all of a sudden, my body left me. And I knew that because it went up here, up close to the ceiling, and I could see myself down there praying. And when I got done praying, and I got up and started to walk back to the pew, I could see myself going back into my body. I think I've never shared that with nobody but Shirley. But that was real. Real. And it's like Paul said, I had an out-of-body experience. I can't tell. I don't know. But I know without a doubt that God is real, folks. Amen. And He takes care of His children. And He will do what you need in your life to get you to work to the place that He can use you. Let's go on. We're about to close up here. So He's saying, search me, O God, know my heart, verse 23. Test me, know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that's offending to you or would lead me a path or lead me along the path of everlasting life. So He created us to have a relationship with Him. It's for His glory and His purpose to be good stewards of His creation. For His light needs to shine in us. And that light is like the sun shining on the moon and then the moon reflecting back. We're like the moon reflecting the light of God to others that see us. Just as He created the light that He created that shines on the moon, that same light shines down upon the earth. That light that He created in you, created in me, when we receive Jesus Christ into our hearts and we let the light of God so shine in us that those who are walking in darkness, who had the eclipse of the total eclipse of the heart, that they, like on the dark side of the moon, will come and be drawn to the light. That light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for mankind. The light is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me? Father, I thank You for every individual here. And I pray that Your word, Father, this is Your word. It's not my word. Amen. And Lord, hopefully it's been orchestrated in such a way that it paints the picture to the hearts that they understand what You did, Lord Jesus, on Calvary for us and how our light should shine and reflect what You did for us. So Father, I thank You. I give You praise and honor for every individual here. And Lord, I don't have to say anything. Your word speaks for itself.
Amen.
And now Your word has been spoken. And I'm asking Father God to bless that word in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.